Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, your Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves
live
at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Well, good evening. Welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I am your host, Poetic Energy, and this is a special show for me tonight. It's not a regularly scheduled show this evening, but I just wanted to remember Dr. Martin Luther King on this day that is designated to celebrate him and his mission in life, his call. And I just wanted to take a little bit of time out of my schedule to, show my respect, my love, and my admirations toward for a great man that carved the way for so many, not just blacks, but whites, all cultures and colors. And I'm going to do that. I have a selected poem and some audio that bears his voice on it. So, but what I'm going to do first is read the poem that I have. That is a poem by Langston Hughes, and it kind of fits with the theme of the show. So, I just hope that you guys enjoy this and just take this moment with me just to show our love and appreciation, respect, and honor towards such a great man, Dr. Martin Luther King. This poem I'm about to read is entitled "Let America Be America Again" by one of the most famous poets that has ever lived, by Langston Hughes. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark, and who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work that men, of take the pay, of owing everything for one man's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean, hungry yet today spike the dream. Beaten yet today, O pioneers, I am the man who never got ahead. The poorest worker bartered through the years, yet I'm the one who dreamed our basic dreams. In the old world, while still a serf of kings, who dreamed a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone and every furrow turned that's made America the land that it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home, for I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Pollen's plain and England's grassy lea, and torn from black Africa's stand, I came to build a homeland of the free. The free. Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on release today, the millions shot down when we strike, the millions who have nothing for our pay, for all the dreams we've dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung. The millions who have nothing for our pay except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet and yet must be, the land where every man is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, who sweat and blood, who's facing pain, who's had at the foundry, who's plow in the rain, must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Oh, yes, I say in plain, America never was America, and yet I sweat this oath America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster's death, the rape and rots of grass and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states and make America, America again. That was by the famous poet Langston Hughes. All right, thank you so much for listening to that. I am going to go ahead and play for you some of the speeches of Dr. Martin Luther King himself. And I hope you guys enjoyed. And just take this moment and this time to just remember a man that gave us options. He carved a way for us to be able to go into places where we once were not welcome. We now can have an education without being taken away from the classrooms or being disallowed entry into the school buildings. We are now allowed to eat in restaurants where we were no longer welcome. We are now allowed to, as artists, if we want to perform, we can perform in any place and enter in through the front door and leave the same way. So I'm very excited and very happy and very honored that this person, Dr. Martin Luther King, just carved their way. It makes me full and makes me teary-eyed because so many of us, we take for granted the advantages that we now have because of the people that fought for us to have freedom. And we take for granted, and we do not remember these great people and honor them like they should. And so I just, you know, thought it was very important for me to just, you know, take the time out to do that today. Although it was a day designated by man, and, you know, I still feel it necessary to, yes, you know, pay my dues and honor such a great man. I am so, you know, fortunate to me. I feel I am forever grateful because, you know, being a poet, you want to be able to have the freedom to speak. Whereas, you know, there was time that we weren't able to read or write or be able to express ourselves in the form of poetry, in the form of of being anybody that contributes to the literary world. We were not always afforded that opportunity. So I really thank God for putting the tenacity in a man to really want to, you know, strive and motivate for equality for all men, not just black but white. You know, a lot of people benefited from the cause of Dr. Martin Luther King, and it's so important that we understand that, because he makes it very clear that he wanted equality for all, blacks, whites, Jews, you know, whomever. His fight was all about equality for men and women. So without further ado, I'm going to play something by Dr. Martin Luther King. So thank you for listening in, folks, and being a supporter of the Poetic Energy Radio Show.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One of the first things we notice in this dream is its amazing universalism. It does not say some men, but it says all men. It doesn't say all white men, but it says all men, which includes black men. Doesn't say all Gentiles, but it says all men, which includes Jews. Doesn't say all Protestants, but it says all men, which includes Catholics. That is something else that we notice in this dream, which is one of the things that distinguishes democracy and our form of government with other totalitarian systems. It says that there are certain basic rights that are neither conferred by nor derived from the state. In order to discover where they came from, it is necessary to move back behind the dim mist of eternity. They are God-given. Very seldom. Very seldom, if ever, in the history of the world has a socio-political document expressed in such profound, eloquent, and unequivocal language the dignity and the worth of human personality. For the American dream reminds us that every man is the heir of a legacy of dignity. And yet ever since the founding fathers of our nation dreamed this dream, America has been, to use a big word that the psychologists and the psychiatrists use, a schizophrenic personality, tragically divided. On the one hand, she has proudly professed the noble principles of democracy, and on the other hand, she has sadly practiced the very opposite of those principles. Indeed, slavery and segregation have always been strange paradoxes in a nation founded on the principle that all men are created equal. often, America has trampled over the dream. So often, America has scarred this noble dream. We look and see certain states saying they will never comply with the law of the land. In doing this, America is scarring the dream. We notice people who merely want to be free being brutalized, homes being bombed, churches being bombed. This is a way of scarring the American dream. We notice people who merely want to exercise their citizenship rights being thrown into jail. This is a way of scarring the dream. And we can hear the voice of a little Emmett Till crying from the rushing waters of Mississippi. This is a way of scarring the dream. And so the Negro is still trampled over by the iron feet of oppression. And so often he has been pushed out of the glittering sunlight of life's July and left standing in the piercing chill of an alpine November. This is scarring the American dream. May I say to you, as has been said so eloquently all the afternoon, this dream is being scarred not only in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, and all of the southern states, but it is being scarred in New York, in Illinois, in Pennsylvania, and I imagine even in California. The fact is that the Negro all over America is still the last hide and the first fire, and he still can't live where he wants to live and where his money can get him to live. But today, more than ever before, America is challenged to bring this noble dream into reality. For the shape of the world today does not afford us the luxury of an anemic democracy. And the price that the United States must pay for the continued exploitation of the Negro and other minority groups is the price of its own destruction. People are looking over to the United States today and they're wondering what we are doing about this problem. They're looking over from Asia and Africa. For years, most of these people have been dominated politically, exploited economically, segregated and humiliated by some foreign power. Today they are gaining their independence. More than 1,600,000,000 of the former 1,800,000,000 colonial subjects have their independence today. And they are saying in no uncertain terms that racism and colonialism must go. The hour is late. The clock of destiny is ticking out. We must act now before it is too late. It is trite but urgently true that if America is to remain a first-class nation, she can no longer have second-class citizens. I must hasten to say that we must not solve this problem merely to meet the communist challenge. We must not seek to solve this problem merely to appeal to Asian and African peoples. This problem must be solved in the United States because segregation and discrimination are morally wrong.
All right, that was, as you know, Dr. King. We do have Please forgive me. I'm on the radio, and I'm trying to hold my composure here. But we do have one other audio here for you, and another poem. We did read a poem by Lexi Hughes prior to me playing Dr. King here. But this is a very, I agree with the Oracle that we should honor such a great man more than just on one day, but we should remember him throughout the year, because the fight that he fought for the equality for all men is very impacting on our lives, and you can never repay a person that really fights your freedom, because that's essentially what he did. He fought for the freedom for all of us to be able to do the things that we do today. And, that is something that I will be totally and forever grateful for. So, again, I just truly am excited and happy at the same time and sad at the same time, because, he was just a legendary person, and he wasn't trying to be a legend, but he was trying to make a statement and make a difference. And he certainly did that. So I am going to play this one last time here, because we have like 22 minutes remaining in the show.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One of the first things we notice in this dream is its amazing universalism. It does not say some men, but it says all men. It doesn't say all white men, but it says all men, which includes black men. Doesn't say all Gentiles, but it says all men, which includes Jews. Doesn't say all Protestants, but it says all men, which includes Catholics. That is something else that we notice in this dream, which is one of the things that distinguishes democracy and our form of government with other totalitarian systems. It says that there are certain basic rights that are neither conferred by nor derived from the state. In order to discover where they came from, it is necessary to move back behind the dim mist of eternity. They are God-given. Very seldom. Very seldom, if ever, in the history of the world has a socio-political document expressed in such profound, eloquent, and unequivocal language the dignity and the worth of human personality For the American dream reminds us that every man is the heir of a legacy of dignity. And yet ever since the founding fathers of our nation dreamed this dream, America has been, to use a big word that the psychologists and the psychiatrists use, a schizophrenic personality, tragically divided. On the one hand, she has proudly professed the noble principles of democracy, and on the other hand, she has proudly practiced, or she has sadly practiced, the very opposite of those principles. Indeed, slavery and segregation have always been strange paradoxes in a nation founded on the principle that all men are created equal. So often, America has trampled over the dream. So often, America has scarred this noble dream. We look and see certain states saying they will never comply with the law of the land. In doing this, America is scarring the dream. We notice people who merely want to be free being brutalized, homes being bombed, churches being bombed. This is a way of scarring the American dream. We notice people who merely want to exercise their citizenship rights being thrown into jail. This is a way of scarring the dream. We can hear the voice of a little Emmett Till crying from the rushing waters of Mississippi. This is a way of scarring the dream. And so the Negro is still trampled over by the iron feet of oppression. And so often he has been pushed out of the glittering sunlight of last July and left standing in the piercing chill of an alpine November. This is scarring the American dream. May I say to you, as has been said so eloquently all the afternoon, this dream is being scarred not only in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, and all of the southern states, but it is being scarred in New York, in Illinois, in Pennsylvania, and I imagine even in California. The fact is that the Negro all over America is still the last hide and the first fire, and he still can't live where he wants to live and where his money can get him to live. But today, more than ever before, America is challenged to bring this noble dream into reality. For the shape of the world today does not afford us the luxury of an anemic democracy. And the price that the United States must pay for the continued exploitation of the Negro and other minority groups is the price of its own destruction. People are looking over to the United States today and they're wondering what we are doing about this problem. They're looking over from Asia and Africa. For years, most of these people have been dominated politically, exploited economically, segregated and humiliated by some foreign power. Today they are gaining their independence. More than 1,600,000,000 of the former 1,800,000,000 colonial subjects have their independence today. And they are saying in no uncertain terms that racism and colonialism must go. Yeah. The hour is late. The clock of destiny is ticking out. We must act now before it is too late. It is trite but urgently true that if America is to remain a first-class nation, she can no longer have second-class citizens. Now, I must hasten to say that we must not solve this problem merely to meet the communist challenge. We must not seek to solve this problem merely to appeal to Asian and African peoples. This problem must be solved in the United States because segregation and discrimination are morally wrong. America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One of the first things we notice in this dream is its amazing universalism. It does not say some men, but it says all men. It doesn't say all white men, but it says all men, which includes black men. It doesn't say all Gentiles, but it says all men, which includes Jews. It doesn't say all Protestants, but it says all men, which includes Catholics. That is something else that we notice in this dream, which is one of the things that distinguishes democracy and our form of government with other totalitarian systems. It says that there are certain basic rights that are neither conferred by nor derived from the state. In order to discover where they came from, it is necessary to move back behind the dim mist of eternity. They are God-given. Very seldom. Very seldom, if ever, in the history of the world has a socio-political document expressed in such profound, eloquent, and unequivocal language the dignity and the worth of human personality. For the American dream reminds us that every man is the heir of a legacy of dignity. And yet ever since the founding fathers of our nation dreamed this dream, America has been, to use a big word that the psychologists and the psychiatrists use, a schizophrenic personality, tragically defined. On the one hand, she has proudly professed the noble principles of democracy, and on the other hand, she has proudly practiced, or she has sadly practiced, the very opposite of those principles. Indeed, slavery and segregation have always been strange paradoxes in a nation founded on the principle that all men are created equal. So often, America has trampled over the dream. America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed. America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds. America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and